Greetings, this is James Gillen, and I'm your host. We've got an interesting show tonight. There's a lot to cover, and I wanted to get right to it. And we're going to have open lines later. So I've been on the road for quite some time. It's good to be home. It's been about four months since I've slept in my own bed and had my own bathtub, you know, which I love to sit in and meditate and throw a little Epsom salt in to keep me alive here, especially up on the mountain. But it feels really good to be back home and back on the air without having all the challenges, you know, on traveling that I had. But there's a few things I wanted to talk about tonight. I mean, there's a lot of bills coming up trying to legislate the airwaves here. And we have to really stay on top of that, because I know if they get these bills passed through, you know, shows like BBS Radio may go off the air. You know, you know, it's crazy. These bills are like, they'll say like Secure Privacy Act or something like that, and make it sound like they're doing something for us, and it's actually to us. Almost every time when you see these bills, you have to read the fine print, because it'll come off as something that you should vote for. You know, by the end of the day, when you get through reading it, it's actually some kind of a censorship program. So stay on top of that. I know the funding for Homeland Security was blocked, and they did a temporary one-week funding, which made me do a little happy dance, you know, because, you know, that whole thing, all the threats are manufactured, the false flag operations and everything else. We don't need this massive Homeland Security. This is no different than Nazi Germany, and the airports have their own systems in place that were very good, very accurate. We don't need this massive Gestapo organization. You know, it's almost like, you know, traveling now. It's like, you know, I feel like I'm in, you know, Hitler's Germany or something when you're traveling. And you have to pay all these extra fees just so you can get the quick checkout, you know, because you don't have to go through those massive machines that radiate your DNA and all the other things. But, you know, that's something that needs to change right away. There's also seems to be a pretty confirmed UFO crash in Canada. And this ship was filmed over the Jackhead Reservation for quite some time. It had a lot of military flying around it, checking it out. And it just kept hanging there, staying there. And I guess they finally decided to either shoot it down or something happened. We probably used some of our exotic weapons on it, on some peaceful visitors, like we usually do. And I guess it ended up crashing in Lake Manitoba. And you know, so they can't really get any heavy equipment out there. So it's still there. It's still stuck in the ice, as far as I know. And you know, they've got all kinds of, snowmobiles out there and things trying to pull this thing out. But, you know, they're not going to pull this thing out. They're going to have to bring in a big old Huey or something to pick it up and fly it out of there. But I don't know how big this thing is. It looks pretty big. It looks pretty heavy. I don't know if we have a helicopter that could pick up something like that. Maybe a couple in tandem might be able to do it, but, you know, in an intricate cable system. But it'll be interesting, you know, to see what comes of that. But they're, you know, telling residents and anybody who's filmed it, they're going in and saying, delete this off your computer, and checking out their computers. So it's like all the people in the area that have filmed these things, their military is cracking down on it, trying to cover this thing up. So I don't think they're going to be very successful in that. And a lot of videos coming out already, you know, with this Manitoba crash. So we'll see. You know, it's like the new Roswell. You know, we'll see what comes out of that. I would imagine there's probably all kinds of people there with cabins and things like that, with video cameras, you know. And something's going to get leaked out. You know, it always does. I don't think they're going to be successful in covering this one up. And speaking about cover-ups, I just got back from the International UFO Congress. And I was invited to speak there again, which I was kind of shocked that I was invited again. But they've gone through a completely new regime change, you might say, an overhaul. They don't really have a board anymore. Last time the board was just heavily infiltrated with card-carrying CFI members, and you know, they would state no New World Order, but you'd look at the people on the board and you go, well, these guys are New World Order, you know. So anyway, as usual, you know, when you tell the truth in these places, you end up getting censored or you step on a lot of toes. And nonetheless, I wasn't asked to come back again for quite some time. But now that it's gone through a whole new regime change, They did invite me back, and the talk was overwhelmingly a success. I know by the booth after I did my talk, we just got slammed with people, and just all my books just flew out, and videos, everything flew out the door. You know, just within 2 or 3 hours after my talk, which, you know, people vote with their wallets, so obviously people are ready for a more spiritual message, a higher message, and they want to hear the big picture and what's really going on. And you know, it's gone far beyond the nuts and bolts and proving UFOs exist. You know, now the people want to know, well, who's on them and why are they here? And they want to know about our multidimensional friends and the higher aspects of it, which was pretty much very, very well defined, you know, by the actions of the people. There was several ovations, standing ovation. It was great. You know, people loved the talk. And I was very, very impressed myself. I didn't know how I was going to be taken there. And yeah, as usual, I did step on a few toes, and I had to set some boundaries with some people. But, you know, there's still people out there that are demanding all this physical evidence. You know, they want a piece of the ship, or they want some foreign technology or something to validate the case. And the problem with that is that if you do have some kind of foreign technology like that, especially from the stars or off-world, you're going to have a visit, and they're going to come knocking on your door. And as soon as you go public with that, your house is going to get ransacked. And you could end up in jail and losing your property, basically. And that's the rules of the game. So, you know, if anybody asks me if I have an object or if I have an object from one of the ships or anything, I say, hell no, of course I don't. And if I did, why in the hell would I say anything about it? But I don't. I don't want any objects from the ship. It's not time yet for that. But there will come a time where there will be, you know, face-to-face meetings, and there'll be technologies that are transferred, and, you know, we'll be in a major restoration program for the planet. And that's not too far away, actually. A lot of the technology is already here. It's already on the planet. And we have anti-gravity, we have counter-gravity, we have incredible healing technologies, frequency healing technologies, regeneration chambers, amazing technologies. But this has all been suppressed by the elite. But once the elite are out of the way, which seems to be what's happening, you know, as we speak, there's a major shift in energy, and the elite are being cornered, and they have nowhere to go, basically. So they aren't going to be running the show anymore, and a whole new system is going to be in place. And that system is going to be hooked up into the higher dimensions. A lot of the Chinese are fully aware of this, the noble Chinese families, the ones that maintain their integrity, and are, you know, they're the keepers of Heaven's Gate, you might say, the gate to heaven. They're amazing. It's not the cult Heaven's Gate, but it's a whole different system. But, you know, these people are very noble. They're very honest. They don't want world domination. You know, they want to see evolution happen here. They want to see an end to the war and the disease profiteers and us to evolve to a much higher level. And very spiritually aligned beings. And I've actually had conversations with some of these beings, and they felt very, very honest, very noble, and high integrity, and looks like they're going in the right direction. So we are going to see some big changes, you know, in this system coming up. They've already moved in, you know, on the world courts and the IMF and even the Federal Reserve, and a lot of these things have been taken over because of extreme misuse and abuse by the powers that are going down, the banksters. And we're going to have a whole new system in place here real soon. And this is the Chinese New Year, so you're going to see a lot of this announced really soon that these things are going to come about. And I know firsthand information. I know the people that are actually writing the paperwork that are making the moves that are making this happen. So it's everything is on track. You know, they basically told me to just sit back and relax and wait for this to come about. And there's going to be a lot of funding available to projects that are aligned with restoring the earth, you know, and restoring humanity and service-oriented projects. You know, a lot of people think they're going to get this billion-dollar check, you know, just because, you know, they came up with a project. Well, if you're not already working on projects, you're not only working for the light and working as part of the awakening and healing of humanity and the earth, you're not going to get your billion-dollar check, because we know where that's going to go. That's going to go to your new condo, your new boat, your new, and that's not where the money is to be directed. And so there will be kind of a vetting system, you know, that's going to vet out the people that all of a sudden became altruistic, you know, just because the money's there. We need to pay attention to that. There's a lot of people that are taking, tickets basically. If you we'll give you a ticket here, this ticket's going to be worth $1 billion. You just have to invest so much, and you'll get this bit. Forget that program. That's not working either. That's not going to happen. So I would be very wary of anybody asking you to finance them up front, because you're going to get these $1 billion later. That'd be wary of those systems, because whenever some project like this starts, it just seems like everybody jumps on board and everybody's looking for a way to make a buck. And unfortunately, we are a very greedy civilization on many levels, and that selfishness, that greed program, has to come to a close. And that's not going to get funded. It just isn't going to work that way. So the ones that are aligned with the awakening healing process are the ones that are going to, be funded, and things will be moving in that direction. See, we've got the Canada UFO Congress. The Congress was interesting. It was really interesting this time. There, as usual, these events, there's disruptors and distractors and things like that, even on many levels. I mean, the place was being pulsed from somewhere. I don't know if it was from a satellite or where it was coming from, but there's a lot of people that kept feeling this pulse, and would like it was pushed down and through you, and it would like all of a sudden you get a little like lightheaded or dizzy for a second, go, wow, what was that? And so the usual, these guys are playing games, and they usually put something over the entrance, into the to the conference building itself and things like that, to kind of throw people off a little bit or shift energies. And that's usually usual for any big event, that happens, unless you call in some major protection, which I had to do before my talk. I had some wonderful people helping me. And considering that talk, I almost didn't make it. I mean, I've been hit by scalar waves and microwaves and everything you could think of, and I've lost like 50 layers of skin. It's just unbelievable the nonsense that I've had to go through to get this information out, and understandably so, because this is really disrupting this whole Archon grid, which is just being torn apart right now. And these entities are just flailing. They're using every technology they can use, and the ones that the degenerate ETs that align with our military are also out in force, trying to stop this awakening healing process, and they don't want to be exposed. So there's a major effort to stop this process, and I seem to be the target of that, which comes with the territory. I don't see myself as a victim. I came to do a job, and I knew that job had consequences, and I know there's some great healers out there. And speaking of which, I had a wonderful healing session with Jerry and Lita and several other people that helped me get back on track, and get my energies back up, to where so I could go ahead and finish the event, which was awesome. So, just as we have the negative thrown out, if you keep going forward, the positive shows up as well, and the people that are working for the positive. And so I had some wonderful help from people there, at the conference, that kind of helped me get some of this stuff off of me, and get this nanotechnology and all the other nonsense off, off of me. And after the after those events, we got some amazing pictures. One of the Jerry was working on me, one of the healers, and we'll put that information out in the newsletter on how to get a hold of him. But while he was working on me, you could see my aura just lighting up, and with the regular camera, I mean, the regular photographs were taken while he was doing the work. And one of the pictures showed my third eye with a golden diamond shape on it. It was just so bright. It just lit up like crazy. It was an amazing photo. Another woman took a photo of me while I was on stage, and I turned into this beautiful electric blue light with green above it. And I was totally turned into a light being for a minute there, in this photograph. It was an amazing photograph. And another person took a photograph, and there was like a 10-foot tall being standing behind me, which I haven't, I was told about it, and they said they had it. And if you're listening to this show, whoever that is, could you please send that photograph? I'd love to see it. I guess a lot of crazy photographs were taken, while I was up on stage. There's all kinds of things happening and events going on. But I had some wonderful people, Connie and Natasha, helping me out, and they're holding frequencies. And I had some very powerful people in the audience holding energies, holding space, so I could, do this talk and get this information out. So, thanks to all of you who'll help me get through this thing and help clear these energies and hold space. And luckily, it was a pretty amazing event. I got to talk about the benevolent Anunnaki coming back, the ancient Anunnaki that are being cleaned up and taken out as we speak, and the Pleiadian, Andromedan, the Orion Council of Light, the Arcturians, all the Assyrians, all these different beings that are helping humanity right now to shift these energies, and they're part of the awakening healing process. They're tearing down this old grid, and they're doing some amazing work. So, we need to send a little gratitude to their direction, and hopefully, be the ground crew and help out that process, be a part of that process. The Congress was really interesting mix of people. There were some people that are still trying to paint a picture of it's all dark, it's all negative, and there wasn't too many people there saying it's all light, which both is incorrect, but there is dark energy there. There are discarnate spirits, the archons, the degenerate ETs. There are some low-level ETs, but the majority of it is light and it is benevolent. And the benevolent beings have full use of the creational energies. They're far beyond anything we can imagine. They have these funky laws, which I wish they'd get rid of. But it's like they can't come in and just clean everything up. And like we have to invite it, and they can't be the aggressors. And a lot of times they come in only after aggression has started. They'll come in and clean it up, but unfortunately, we end up taking the hits, and that's getting old for me. But I think eventually, that's all going to be cleaned up, and we'll have more protection, in that area. And that looks like where it's going. There's a few things that there's a. I just watched this video; it brought tears to my eyes. It's called New McDonald. Go on YouTube and type in New McDonald, and it's just amazing what these kids put on a show. And you just got to see it, just New McDonald, type it out and you go to YouTube and type in New McDonald and you'll see it. But I put it out over the newsletter, and go to, eseti.org, sign up for that newsletter, because we're putting some amazing things out over the newsletter, breaking news about what's happening on the planet and things that need to be shifted and changed. And I'm going to do a write-up here about the trip and talk about a lot of things that happened along the way. Maui was awesome. Maui's always awesome, but this time Maui was a lot of work as last time, and it seemed like I was really trying to get some downtime and my own healing time in Maui. But as usual, there was such a demand after the lectures and the workshops that for personal counseling that I seemed to be doing a lot of that, I didn't really get the downtime I wanted, but I did, tried to set some time off every morning to go swim. We went down to a little beach called Baby Beach, which is a beautiful little cove with a reef where you can swim, without all the heavy waves or anything else. And it's a beautiful place to swim. And so, I would go down every morning and swim, and I'd always run into the turtles. There'd always be a turtle or two in there, it seemed like, and hang out with the turtles a little bit, and I just love doing that every morning. So I'd swim and do my Yigong practices and do some other practices. I was working with Dr. Scott Werner and with some things, and we worked together on some projects, and got him to do a talk at the same place I was staying, which was amazing. And we talked a lot about these DNA codes. I mean, I actually had him on the show and talked about these activation that we do, and I'll give you a real simple process to do. It's very simple. Is you just sit down, in a chair. It's good to have your feet on the ground. If you can do it out in nature, it's even better. But then call on what your concept of the earth, Sophia Gaia, Pachamama, Pele, what the earth energy. Just call that beautiful earth energy. It's that vibrant orange energy that, that creation energy. And pull that up from the earth through your feet right into your sacrum. And just visualize that and give thanks as it's flowing in there. And when you're done with that, you bring the energy down from, and you can call on the archangels. You can call on Archangel Michael, Raphael, Zaphiel, Gabriel, all the different angels. And then call on the space brothers too, because they, especially the Orion Council of Light, they know how to recode your DNA and change your DNA. And so we're working with the 24-strand to activate this 24-strand DNA within our own systems, but also to put it within the blood and the immune system as well, the lymph system, put it throughout the entire system, and to totally change us, make us impervious to all these things we're being assaulted with, because we're being assaulted with every chemical known to man. It's unbelievable. Heavy metals, everything. Chemtrails, it's in your water, it's everywhere. It's in your food, the GMOs, everything. So one of the things we need to do is really bolster up our DNA. So, you know, you want to call and ask that your, you know, body be cleansed of any molds, toxins, nanobots, bacterias, you know, just have them clear those out, and then bring in this energy and ask them to reset your DNA and create your DNA to make your body impervious to all of these attacks that are going on. And bring that energy right down through your crown into your sacrum as well, and have them merge in the sacrum. And just sit with that energy for a while. And it's a very powerful meditation. And you can call on any of the masters or the saints or sages you feel comfortable with, or the archangels. But it seems like a lot of the ultra-dimensionals are the ones that are really doing the DNA downloads and working with that area. So add them into the mix. So again, just, you know, get out in nature if you can, or you can do it in your house and just have the energy run up through your feet, you know, from the earth into your sacrum, and just set it there, just let it stop, and then bring it from the top down and have it meet in the sacrum as well. And then just sit with that energy and have them, you know, regenerate your body and do whatever's necessary. And that'll help you get through these changes. But I spent a lot of time with Scott. We had a great time, and I like Scott. He's quite a character. I surround myself with characters. I don't like normal people. They're very boring to me. So it's nothing against normal people. I guess they need to keep the machine running or something. I don't know. But I like eccentric people and people that are, you know, really have their heart and soul in things and are moving in that direction. But anyway, it was quite a trip. We did a lot of work on the Monsatan project and getting that implemented. You know, it's very sad. This is a classic example of what's really happening on this planet from the top down. But the people voted. The people, you know, issued a mandate: no more GMOs, no more chemicals, no more glyphosates, no more, you know, Agent Orange or Roundup. You know, Roundup is in the air. It's everywhere. 70% of the water has Roundup in it on the planet right now. It's unbelievable. And has very serious effects on the body. And that's all been proven. But anyway, so they voted and they said no more GMOs, no more, you know, you have to stop these practices until you can prove they're safe. Basically, it's in their constitution. So anyway, so what's happening is that they voted them out, said no more, and won in the elections, and now they're fighting it in the court system, and the federal judges are coming in and saying, no, you can't do that, you know, you don't have a say so, you know, you have to be poisoned, you have to accept this poison, and it doesn't matter if they're overspraying schools and everything else, you have to take it, you have to accept this. You're going, I'm just going, what is going on with this picture, you know? And so we're seeing corruption at the highest levels, and it is at the highest level. This whole Monsanto GMO program, you know, the chemtrail program, everything, the corruption goes right to the top, and it's all been bought and paid for. So, you know, we have to do, there's a wonderful thing called Chemtrail Girls. You know, type in that, Chemtrail Girls, also on Google or on in YouTube, and you'll find some videos that are just amazing. And they talk about it, and they said, you know, we're seeing it's from the top down. It's not, you know, we have to educate the people, but even then the people need to stand up and say enough and hold these judges and these other people responsible. And there are ways of holding these judges responsible, because there's a breach of trust if they don't work in the highest and best good of the people and do what the people say. And there are ways of doing that, which I think is the next step is going to happen. So in that process. But anyway, it's just that we're just seeing very clearly just how corrupt this whole system is. But the good news is this whole system is going to be revamped. It's all, and it is going to be revamped from the top down. And so, you know, we are going to see some real major changes in the next year. you know, with all of this. And hopefully we'll get back to a constitutional court system, a common law court system, and get away from this maritime law, which is actually you're under the thumb of the queen, you know. So the Pope and the Queen should not be in charge of our affairs over here. And you know, the British, what the Bar Association is, something like the British accredited registry or something like that, you know, right away there's a conflict of interest. If you remember the Bar Association, there's a conflict of interest. It, as soon as you walk into that courthouse is a for-profit corporation, usually owned by the judges. And so there's a conflict of interest right there. So you have a severe conflict of interest before you even get started, you know. So you've got the cards stacked against you. They're not there to lose money. They're not there to let you go. They're there to make money. That's the whole deal. And they do it. They do it well, you know. So you know, I haven't seen a broke judge out there. I don't know if you have, but I've never seen one out there with no money and no power and no wealth. You know, it's just they're not totally in service mode. I'll tell you that. But anyway, a lot of this stuff is being brought up to the surface, and there's some amazing people. I got to spend some time with Winston Stroud. Like, you know, Winston and Pat picked me up at the airport, which was awesome. You know, I got to land and had spent some time with them. I wish I was in better shape because I was pretty beat up after the conference and after traveling. But we had a good talk, and you know, things are looking really good on the home front. So things are going to be changing, and it on the highest level, it's looking good. I wanted to open the line up to callers, you know, today, and because I have been away for a really long time, and I know there's a lot of questions out there, and I know there's people that are pretty patient. They've been hanging on. Let me give the number if you want to call in. It's 888-627-8008. And again, that's 888-627-8008. And I'll have you get a pin, you know, give you time to get a pin, and I'll give you that information a little later. And so I hope we've got, I know we have Cameron on line one. I don't know if he's still hanging on, but hopefully, Cameron, are you with us?
Hey, James, it's Cameron. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Great energy out there. Great show. Thanks for everything you do. Hey, just a quick question. I have a documentary on all the plastic in the ocean. And you mentioned earlier in the show about, you know, the technology and our friends from above can help us clean up the planet. Have you heard anything about that? And what's your opinion about that? I saw this documentary. Absolutely flabbergasted. How much plastic is in the ocean right now?
Oh, yeah, I have. I mean, I guess there's a place the size of Texas that has this problem out there. It's just a big plastic island. You know, the good news is you could use that entire plastic, especially the Keshe Foundation or Keshe. I'm not sure I'm saying it right, but they have the technology to clean that up. They can actually convert that. They have these magnetic grabbers that actually grab plastic. They actually magnetize plastic, and they could run a ship out there and just grab all this stuff, run it inside, convert it back into fuel, diesel, kerosene, or, you know, gasoline, and you know, reconvert all that plastic back into fuel. It's just sitting there, and they could make money on it as well as do the world a favor, you know, and clean it up. Eventually, I'm hoping we'll go to a fuelless society because we don't need fuel. We haven't needed fuel since 1930. But, you know, yeah, I've been watching that, and it's pretty sad. And we do have biodegradable plastics. We can make bottles out of wheat and things of that nature that are biodegradable, and I don't know why that's not mandatory. You know, and again, it goes up to this corporation stuff. It's all about making a buck and doing things as cheap as possible, despite the effects, and they have
right
in their pocket. And so as long as we have this dictatorial democracy, you know, it's in process, you know, where the corporations rule, we're going to keep, you know, having the same situation. So we need a whole new system to come in and to change so we can bring in these technologies and clean up the planet.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I mean, that documentary was a real eye-opener. You know, it just showed all the albatross on that island that's, I guess it's owned by the government. It's up where it's above Hawaii. And
yeah.
It was really sad, you know, because they were killing all these birds and and they're just cutting them open and finding all this plastic inside these birds and then the fish. And, you know, it's just basically out there, and all the fish and the birds are eating it. We eat the fish. And so, yeah, it was pretty pervasive. I was shocked.
Yeah. You know, I've heard a lot of the hamburger meat, and we won't talk about the major chains that are doing it, or actually have petroleum product and plastic in them, you know, things of that nature. So it's like, we're eating plastic too. Again, it's just like, you know, it's a corporate greed. At what point, you know, they're going to cut corners and use the cheapest materials possible and flavor enhancers and everything else to give you a product that's going to taste good. But, you know, it's just like, you know, eating plastic isn't good no matter how you cut it.
Yeah, it's just pretty unbelievable. But anyway, that was just my question. I'm hoping from above can help us clean that up, because it was so big and so massive. I don't know, unless the corporations turn around, you know, everybody's going to have to poop in, but it just seemed like such a big problem. But anyway, thanks, James. I'll let you go, and thanks for all you do, and have a great show, and let somebody else ask a question. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks for calling. Yeah, in Japan, they created a device that will take all that plastic and just change it right into kerosene, gasoline, or diesel. So the technology is there. You know, it might take a lot of power to run that device, but we also have the free energy devices that could run these. You know, same thing with desalination. A lot of these desalination projects take a lot of power, but we have the power. We just have to release it. And so there's no problem that can't be solved or cleaned up. You know, it's all about consciousness, and it's about, you know, who's governing and who's in charge of the problem. And the problem with that is almost all of our agencies are not set up to take care of these problems or even address these problems. They're corporate sponsored as well, and they can't even bring it out. I mean, look at chemtrails. I mean, hear the EPA say anything about chemtrails? My God, you know, we're just being dumped on by heavy metals, which are super toxic. And all kinds of biologicals and other things. There's just big guinea pigs down here, you know, and they're saying it's weather modification and things like that. Well, they've totally screwed that up. They've made things 10 times worse. The planet has her own natural ability to reset herself, to change, you know, if you get too much sun, you know, you get more water in the air. More water evaporates, you have more clouds. The clouds block the sun. It's a process, you know, that the earth starts overheating, you know, volcanoes go off, the volcanoes throw up the ash blocks the sun, the planet cools down. You know, it's the systems are already there. It's like these psychopaths that think they know what they're doing, that are getting these huge government contracts to tinker with nature, who have no concept of nature whatsoever. I mean, they think they can control and dominate everything, you know, with their petri dishes and their protractors it's like, why don't you just go out and study nature for a while and watch nature? You'll see nature can take care of herself, you know, and get out of your cubicle, you know, and put your glasses in your pocket and go sit by a river for a little while and figure things out. But that's what needs to happen. But anyway, let's see if we can bring in, I think we've got Teresa online too. Teresa, are you with us? Teresa.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I'm a new listener, so I may be asking something that somebody just asked recently, but I'm curious as to what's going to be happening with the physical issues that may be beyond our control for the Earth. Like, is there any validity to the Nibiru thing or to the fact that Fukushima is killing sea lions all over California? Or are all of these things fear-mongering and just put out there to keep us looking away from the real problems and the real situation?
You know, actually, I think those are the real problems myself. And, you know, we can't deny that Fukushima exists, and I think that was a controlled situation. It wasn't natural at all. But
I believe that too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a group out there, and it's the elite, and they want 80% of us gone. And Kissinger is openly stating that. A lot of other elite have talked about it. It's in the Georgia Guidestones, and you know, obviously they want 80%. They want the rest of the people left over to just be pure slaves. They want the elite and a slave race, and that's it. That's all they want. They don't want middle class. They don't want to, you know, they want to totally eliminate that. And they're doing a darn good job at it right now. And so eliminate the middle class, and especially with all the, you know, as far as eliminating the people with all the GMOs, the food additives, the chemtrails, and now the inoculations, they're doing a great job of eliminating, you know, millions of people. And that's going to continue. And I think one thing we need to really stay on top of is they're trying to force inoculations on everybody coming up. They're trying to pass these bills. And these psychopaths are trying to fill us up with all their little nanobot and nanotechnologies and trackers and everything else in these things. Not to mention the mercury and the other detergents and everything that are super super hard on your system, very very negative. You know, they found out the last flu season they missed it. They inoculated everybody for the wrong flu virus, so everybody got filled up with. You know, all kinds of mercury and detergents and everything else, and got super sick, and then realized that it didn't work anyway. So I'm hoping that, you know, this information gets out, more and more information gets out about how useless these inoculations are and what a front they are. And it's all about Big Pharma, and we put an end to this. But, you know, people need to stay on top of things. Nibiru, you know, it's funny that Nibiru, I've always felt, is a non-event. And it's interesting because, you know, it is going to come through. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. The alignment with the galactic plane was a big deal, and we've passed that. We've gotten through that situation. We are moving through a highly energized place in space, which is creating a whole different system. We are going through climatic change because of where we are in space and the sun and other objects that are affecting the Earth. I mean, that's real. You know, it's not global warming. Actually, we're cooling down, it looks like. So we are going through ups and downs and everything. I can't really call it global warming because we're all over the place. It's change, yes. We're going through change. I don't know what else you wanted to talk about, but you know, the Anunnaki are back. The benevolent ones are back, and they're reining in the ones that fell from universal law and that kind of screwed a lot of things up, that, you know, they created all the religions and the divisions and the separations here you know, played their little Hatfield and McCoy game here on the planet and got us all involved in it. And so that's all being cleaned up as well. So that's, I don't think that's a negative event. That's actually a good event that they're coming back and they're aligned with the other benevolent star nations to clean up the planet.
No, I think that's a wonderful thing too, but I'm just wondering how much they're going to intercede on these physical calamities that seem to be piling up at our doorstep, you know?
Yeah, they are. Actually, I just saw a video of some beautiful ships right over Fukushima, and they seem to be emitting all these different rays and things. There, it's quite interesting video, and so they are working on that, obviously. It's kind of a tricky situation because we are hell-bent on destroying ourselves and the platform for life that we depend on to exist. And these guys are going, you know, look, we can't just keep cleaning this up. You've got to gain the wisdom from this experience and stop. And, you know, our illustrious leader, you know, Obama, is signing the bills to build more of these same type of reactors that are ticking time bombs. And so we've got pure insanity on the higher levels running things, and again, the people just need to rise up and put a stop to the insanity.
I'm starting to think this Antichrist thing is not just, you know, a rumor.
Yeah, my consideration of the Antichrist is that they've never said there's one Antichrist. It's always been a series of Antichrists, and Antichrist, I think, is anything that's Antichrist consciousness. And if we look at the true teachings of Christ, you know, they're, you know, he talked about an all loving God and all forgiving God, and love God with all your heart and love your neighbors yourself. And, you know, his teachings are all about love. And so a lot of the teachings in churches are all about separation and judgment and condemnation and guilt and fear and unworthiness and all the things which Christ talked against, you know, said, don't go there. So if you want to know what the Antichrist is, I mean, a lot of the churches are actually following the Antichrist because they're Antichrist consciousness, and they need to wake up and realize, you know, what where the real history of Earth and how these religions were established. And, you know, a lot of them go back to the Anunnaki. There was an Anunnaki here that was just jealous, wrathful. He was a genocidal maniac. He wanted, you know, most of the people on Earth to be washed away. You know, he was behind the floods and everything, you know, wanted to just see everything cleaned up and start over. And that was Enlil. He was one of the, and then they had Enki, who was the creator god that loved humanity, that wanted to see, you know, humanity evolve to its highest expression. And he was the all loving, you know, god. And so that's where we got these images from. And until we realize, you know, where we got these images from and stop playing out their dramas, you know, we're going to continue down the same path.
I see. Well, I hope we change quickly.
I don't think it's optional. I think we don't have a choice anymore. And I think, as I said before, from the top down, there are things happening in place from the top down. And this cabal group and these psychopaths that have been running things are really coming, you know, their karma is coming up. It's all being accelerated and amplified, and people are being, everything's being revealed. They're being revealed for who they are and what they've done. And it's just a matter of time, you know, to where all this nonsense, all the pedophile stuff, everything is all coming up in every institution. And so it's just a matter of time before this all comes forward.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking my call.
All right, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Looks like we have Louisa on line 3. Louisa, are you with us?
Hi, James. I am. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the show.
I spoke to you a couple weeks ago when you were in Maui, and there was a storm going on.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about the lien, the bond issue. And I was going to send you some information, but I didn't get your email.
Oh, yeah, you can send it to ufojames@gorge.net.
At Gorge?
Yeah, GORGE.net. Yeah, there's a lot going on there. I can't really talk too much about it, but I've been working and giving people the right information on how to take care of that. And so
right.
They are filing, they'll be filing the paperwork, and they're just going to go right after the heads and the judges and everything and take care of business. So it's probably aligned with I'm sure it's aligned with what we were talking about.
Yeah, it is. And I've been in litigation for 4.5 years for an uncontested divorce.
Wow.
It just never ends. I mean, between the two of us, it's, you know, I don't know, $200,000 already. Ridiculous.
Well, it's
ridiculous, and you
know, for-profit corporation, you know, they're there to make money, and they're going to tie things up as long as they can, and that's what they do.
That's right. Now, are you back at the ranch? Are you opening it up? Is it? Are you going to have like?
I'm back at the ranch. It's going to be a little while before we open up, but we'll probably open up, you know, 1st of April, or might have a few things going on. You know, in March, we'll see how long it takes us to get everything cleaned up. You know, we didn't have a really hard winter, so it won't be too bad.
Oh, that's good. It's been tough on the East Coast.
I haven't checked all the pipes yet, but last year, boy, I had to replace, you know, a lot of plumbing here, all the outdoor showers and bathrooms and everything. So we're left kind of to freeze, and they did, so it was a real mess. So I'm hopefully you know, I haven't fired up the lines out there, so we'll find out what I have to do.
I've just it would be nice to find more like-minded people in this area, and I'm sure there are, but there's just doesn't seem to be you know, like even with Rob Potter's group, very sparse. I mean, for the density concentration of people that are over here in the New York metropolitan area, there's like 2 groups. I'm like, it's like ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
well,
20 million,
you know,
people over here. Yeah. I'm not sure why. I mean, I know the West Coast is so much more, you know, really progressive, but just seems to really be so slow on this side. Do you know? Do you do any conferences on the East Coast at all?
I don't actually. I haven't gone over there, and I haven't been over there, but I think there is a calling for that, but I just haven't, you know, I'm trying to, not travel so much. I've been traveling so much. I'd like to just hang out for a little while and kind of regroup. But I've noticed that. And you know, and all due respect for the East Coast. I mean, there's some wonderful people there on the East Coast. But I've noticed at the ranch here, a lot of times when we have people come from the East Coast, we do get a lot of people with kind of a sense of entitlement and very demanding and kind of an aggressive energy. And the people on the West Coast seem to be more laid back and, hey, it's all right, everything's cool, you know. And especially Canadians that come, we have wonderful. We have the Canadians that show up here all the time are just so laid back and, hey, can I help, you know. Let me grab that wood for you, and they'll stack the wood and everything else. So I've just noticed, you know, and I don't want to pigeonhole everybody into that group because there are some beautiful people, you know, that I've met from New York and other places as well. But, you know, it is probably hard to hold a frequency and hold space there when you have most of the masses are unconscious and really just out for themselves, I guess, or totally ingrained in social consciousness.
Well, isn't the scalar net, isn't that, I mean, it's out of Long Island, it's out of Montauk, so I would presume, I mean, if that's holding a global, you know, scalar matrix on the planet, I would assume it's pretty strong here, and I am not surprised, you know, it's a rough neighborhood, I'll tell you, it's rough, it's all these many, many millions of people in a very small, you know, concentrated area, so it is kind of hard, I mean, you know, people, you know, do what they can to keep the peace, but and they keep the peace for the most part. But it's so incredibly diverse. I mean, this is the melting pot, so it's yeah. Maybe that has something to do with it. But it's I would like to see. I mean, I'm on the ocean, so you know, I do. Though everything's frozen right now,
yeah.
It'll be nice when it thaws out.
You have all the negative ions next to the ocean. It's hard for those projects to work with all the negative ions there. But, you know, I think a lot of these things are going down. All these scalar wave technologies and things that they're playing with are all HARP. All these things are going to be going down here real soon. So, you know, I'm praying that at the end this whole chemtrail situation is, you know, that's being really exposed right now. But, you know, once all that goes, people can be, they'll be free, you know, they won't be under this grid, this blanket of negativity that they've been projecting out there for quite some time. And I think people will all start shifting. They won't in a while, all of a sudden they'll just get this big aha, and it'll be like a great weight has been lifted off of them.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and I'll get this sent over to you, and I'll be curious to see what you, you know, what comments that you might have about that. So
great.
That's, I know I have a trial scheduled for May, so I'm not looking forward to it. It's never a pleasant thing, no matter which side you're on. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, it's uncontested. Why is there even a trial?
Yeah, that's stupid. What I'm saying. If it's uncontested, I would just do it private. Just heck with them. You know, just sit down.
Yeah,
if you're on good terms, it's uncontested. Say, this is the deal. This is what I want. This is what you want. We're in agreement. Period. I mean, let's make a private contract over it.
Yeah, I try. It's not possible. I mean, you know, it's very controlled. So, you know, it's like once you're in it, people don't see it coming. And I think that's the problem. People are still under the impression that we have rights and, you know, certain things can't happen and certain agencies are doing their noble thing. And then they really have no idea that until they're part of it, that that's not how it works. And that's why they're not waking up until it hits everybody at their front door. You know what I mean? Then they're not waking up to it. So, but thanks for taking my call, and I'll get this over to you.
Well, good luck with that. Hope that all turns out and finishes quickly for you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling. It looks like we've got Debbie on line 4. Debbie, are you with us?
Hi, James. I was wondering if you know anything about these 70-foot beings that are asleep in mounds in northern Canada. And the government built structures over the mounds to monitor them, but they're starting to wake up. About 57 of them woke up about a week ago. And the government's prepared to use all their firepower to contain them because of their size.
Well, I haven't heard about. Where is this?
This is in northern Canada.
And they're 50.
I heard it on
70-foot tall beans.
Yeah, and supposedly the Galactics are trying to remove them off planet, but I don't know, you know, I don't have any more information. This is from David Wilcock. He was on Coast to Coast a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, I can't comment on it really. I mean, Wilcox does come out with some stuff. Sometimes he has a history of that is pretty interesting, to say the least. But I have no idea about that. You know, it'd be interesting to see what would transpire with that. Imagine if they're that big, they're probably very ancient, and they might have technologies that are beyond our imagination. So it might not be a good idea to piss them off.
I know, they'll wake up angry.
Yeah. So, you know, that might not turn out too well. There's all kinds of stories about, you know, things of that nature. There were 24 foot tall beings that from ancient Lyra that were pretty standard, you know, at one time. But you're saying they're 70 feet tall?
70 feet tall, yeah.
Wow. Man, I wonder what they eat. Hopefully they're vegetarians and not humanitarians.
I'm wondering how they can, those frequencies that are coming into the planet is, you know, what's waking them up.
Yeah. Hey, well, I'm all for change, you know. So be interesting to see what happens when they wake up and see who they are and what they're about, you know. But, you know, I feel okay. Really good about it. We do have beings that are beyond our imagination that are observing and watching us, and they'll step in if things need to be taken care of. And if these guys aren't of the light, that I, no matter how big they are, it's not going to be a problem taking care of business, you know, with these guys. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I would hate to see the governments turn on somebody that was benevolent, that wasn't negative, which they have a long history of doing, you know, shoot first, ask questions later,
right,
you know, without
right.
even talking. But, hopefully, you know, hopefully somebody uses a little constraint there and a little common sense. I know the problem with military intelligence is it's not very intelligent. You know, it's, you know, the things they do, they don't think things through very well. They're very good at breaking things, but not very good at diplomacy or fixing things.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'll let you take the next person.
Okay, thanks for calling. Yeah, I'll have to look into that and see what that's about.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Looks like we've got Amy on line one. Amy, are you with us?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. So I'm calling from Canada, just south of where that UFO crashed at Lake Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And I've actually seen a lot of activity up here around Lake Winnipeg. As far as 8 years ago, I mean, I'm in my early 30s, so that would have been in my early 20s. After a sweat lodge ceremony that I went to there, I saw actually quite a lot of ships in the sky above Lake Winnipeg, probably, well, just a little bit south of the area where that ship fell.
Mm.
And the Anishinaabe keeps
here. We've done sweat lodges here and with Golden Light Eagle and Grandmother River and other people. A lot of Native American elders have come here and do lodges. It seems like every time we do a lodge, we come out and there's big golden ships hanging out right above us.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I recently met an elder from a different area in Manitoba from this place called the White Shell at Bannock Point. Uh-huh. And she said that the Anishinaabe people of this land, they actually have a creation story that they were dropped off by the Pleiadians.
Yeah, almost all Native Americans point to the stars. And some say they came from the inner earth, you know, came up from the inner earth. And then others almost always point to the Pleiades or Sirius as their homeland.
Well, it's interesting because I have a huge connection with Sirius. And I actually saw in another area of Manitoba, in southwestern, in a just outside of a place called Boisevane, I saw a huge ship, the closest I've ever seen one. I was laying in a field with a friend, and all of a sudden, there's tons of birds, and you could hear lots of them singing, and all of a sudden, the clouds opened up, and there was a ship there, and it was moving very, very slowly over top of us, maybe like 200 feet above, and when it got to the middle, everything went completely silent. And, you know, for a minute I got nervous, but then I checked in with myself and I telepathically felt them out and I felt good. Like, they felt like they were from a loving place. And then I went back to the cabin after they left, and me and three friends started meditating together. We were holding hands in like a triangle, and the earth actually started shaking and making this sound like boom, 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 boom. And I started getting these transmissions. They're drawings. They're like blueprints that I put crystals on. And I don't really know what they mean, but I know that they're from Sirius. And I don't know if you know what Sirian ships look like, but I'm fairly sure that that one that I saw was from Sirius. And I'm not completely sure why they were communicating with me, but I feel I have a lot of dreams where they communicate with me that
way. You probably have a past there. You probably have past lives on Sirius. I'll bet you're probably one of the feline beings. That's what it feels like to me. At one time, there's a lot of feline beings on that come from that area, and their ships are kind of deep. And actually, I don't have time to play it. Maybe next time I'll play it, but I actually have this seventh dimensional feline being from Sirius. He's about a 17-foot tall lion being. I actually have a recording of him speaking, which is crazy. But unfortunately, we don't have time. We're out of time. Actually, I've got to sign off here. But anyway, next week we'll probably play that. But anyway, hey, thanks for calling in, and maybe you might want to take a visit down to East Eddy and see what happens down here for you.
I've been thinking about it because there's a lot of synchronicities that have brought me to this, to you and this site, and I would love that.
Great. Oh, hopefully we'll see you here.
Yeah, have a great night.
All right, thanks for calling. Hey, we're out of time, folks, unfortunately. Next show, I'll see if I can play this, but it's an amazing soundtrack of these lion beings speaking. It's unbelievable. And well, stay tuned and watch the skies. It's on, and we all got to do our part here to shift this energy. So anyway, focus on the heart, focus on love and joy and bliss, and share it. Have a good evening. Hi.